pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. You want to text me, you want to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. We'll get to your text, to your queries in due course, I promise, as always. Still to come on the program, Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall. That's in about an hour and a half, so you want to stick around for that. But joining us now, it's my pleasure to introduce my next guest. Very, very, very good to the show over the years, and always a pleasure to have on. Represents us in the 1st Congressional District, but he's running for his Republican nomination against the 2nd Congressional District Congressman incumbent Barry Moore. But thank you, federal courts, for that. And nonetheless, but Jerry Carl joins us on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I hope you are doing well on this Tuesday morning.
I am. I'm surviving, but that's how it goes, right? But it sounds like the campaign's kicking into high gear as we expected it would at this point. Let's talk a little bit about that and where you think you are right now.
Well, we will be 50-50 in my mind right up to the last day. I will not change my view on that. I don't need a poll to tell me we're 50-50. That's just, I want to be that way. I want to be at 50-50 because that motivates me. That gets me up. That keeps me going. It also helps get the voter out. I mean, looking at Trump right now, Trump's going to be probably the only one on the ticket. So I don't know how many folks Trump will turn out in the primary in Alabama. So that's a bad thing for myself and my opponent. So we're trying to wake people up. All of a sudden, and I was telling you this earlier, it's just like a light switch is flipped. And, we've probably taken out 1,200 signs in the last 2 weeks to people that are calling in. Some of them want multi-signs, you know, for family and stuff. But it's just like a light switch is flipped and everybody's woken up. I can't tell you how or why, but it certainly seems that way. It seems very positive. We're boiling down to, the 6 weeks today will be election day. I was looking at our schedule today. Out of that 6 weeks, I think 4 of those weeks, we're going to be in D.C., which that's going to limit how much we can get out. We've got this week extremely packed with events and speaking events and doing what we do best. And, of course, we have the debate tomorrow night that you'll be moderating and a couple of your close friends. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm just ready to get it on.
Well, tell me something, and you mentioned this, and I've spent a little time contemplating this, but I don't know the answer. If the presidential primary wraps up tonight, Nikki Haley drops out in the next few days, and then March 5th rolls around, and there's no Trump on the ballot here in Alabama, how do you think that changes things? Because we all operate on the assumption that the Republican primary would be competitive, it ought to have a big turnout, people excited to vote for Trump. But if he has this thing wrapped up, that incentive to go out and vote for him is diminished somewhat.
Well, I think my opponent, myself, both have a pretty heavy base of folks that support us. So it's just going to be purely how many we can get out. You know, just pray for good weather and we can get more out than he can get out. I mean, it boils down to being that simple. Voters, they have a tendency of voting when they feel like they, you know, just have to. I know that's a loose term, but I'm still, encouraging everybody, their voice to be heard. Even though Trump may be the only one on the ballot, let your voice be heard. You know, get out and vote. You know, if you want to vote for Trump, there's your chance. Vote for him in the primary and the general. So be on record as doing that. That's one thing, we don't need to turn negative here, but that's one thing, Barry's such a big Trump supporter. He didn't even vote for Trump in 2016. I guess he forgot to vote. So you can't do that. You have to vote every election. And I brought my kids up that way, and we do it in this household that way.
Well, and we can talk about both of those address that. You've gone your campaign, at least, maybe not you personally, a little negative here. Do you, what was that decision-making process like?
Jeff, I disagree with you on the negative part. What we're trying to do is show a difference between he and I. Because when most people look at us, they're going, well, y'all voted pretty much just alike. You're on the same party. Y'all work together, so on and so forth. So we have taken the stance of we've got to define ourselves and show the difference in our voting record and in things that we've said over a period of time. So being negative, I've never been in favor of a negative campaign. I always get hit with them. You still have some outside influence in this race. It's probably going to start slamming me pretty soon. So I'll disagree with you. It's not negative. It's showing the difference between he and I and the thought pattern.
Would you say he's gone negative toward you in any way?
He has in printed form, but again, wouldn't say it's necessarily, you would view maybe as negative, but he's trying to show a difference between he and I and our voting pattern. So a lot of people would look at that, especially in the printed form. I don't know how his budget's set up, but he's set up different. But in the printed form, he's put some negative stuff in what would be interpreted as negative stuff. In a printed form, but in reality, it's just showing what he feels like the difference between he and I are.
Well, and it's kind of, I guess this is the direction. I mean, there are, at least from my assessment, there are some clear distinctions between the two of you. It's not just, and in some ways, this I think is a great thing for the process. It's not just who can be the Trumpiest or whatever, as we've seen maybe in the last several election cycles. Like, you really do have some distinctions that you can debate back and forth.
And we're going to do that tomorrow night. And we have to point out in public to people that are listening that want to know what those distinctions are. You know, and you start talking about negative. And unfortunately, negative works in politics. And I'll give you the 2020 race when I ran against Bill Hightower. Club for Growth got involved. That's the same group that backed Barry, so they're probably going to come at me. But we were up 16 points, and they pulled us down 8 points in a month by doing nothing but running negative ads. That's all they did was negative stuff. So I don't like negative ads, and they fuss at me all the time about, we're not being negative. We're trying to show the difference. I'm always sensitive to that. So, you know, we've got to run this race. We've got to define who we are and what's the difference in us. And if that comes across as negative, it is what it is. I'm sorry.
Well, I think it's just a matter of perception, what you may be for or somebody may be against. And that, but that doesn't matter. I guess let's talk about that, though. It is kind of, like I said, refreshing to actually debate something that's like substantive, like policy, like differences. There are a lot of things you and your opponent would be a lot alike on, but There are some nuanced things that are very important. And the one that comes up, I guess, this election cycle has been the NDAA. I think that's maybe the primary one, a real difference of opinion on how the role of the federal government there.
Well, you know, the NDAA is the number one issue between he and I. I voted for it. He voted against it. I mean, it's pretty simple. But, you know, he's hanging on some stuff that truly does not exist. You know, his three issues, one being the abortion issue. There's nothing in that 700 pages that mentions anything about abortion. So even Coach Tuberville voted for it. Of all people, that man fought for the last year on the abortion issue. But yet somehow the confusing cowboys and Washington, I like to call them, they seem to think there's wording in there on the abortion side, and it simply is not. It is not. So it's stuff like that that we differ on. I'm not going to defund our military. I'm not going to deprive our military of a 5.2% pay increase. I'm not going to say that officers should not get two new ships based on something that's not even in there. So again, you know, this club for growth, this negative group that was no to everything, they're big money now. Keep that in mind. They're billionaires. They love to play politics, and they'll come in under a different name. But, you know, they like to see this stuff shot down. They don't want bigger military. They don't want these contracts issued out. I do. I mean, look at Fort Rucker over in Wiregrass. That facility is so tired. I mean, you go there and everything is just wore out. You know, there's millions in that NDAA for Fort Rucker, Fort Novosel. And they know those folks need that. I mean, we need to take pride in where our warriors live while they're being trained, and take pride in that, take care of them as much as we can. They're living in moldy, infested apartments is what they're living in. And we've got to change that. This NDAA is part of it. Barry voted against it. Barry voted against the pay raise. Barry voted against the officer contract. Barry voted against everything good that's in there. Now, it's not, Jeff, you know how this works. It's not 100% good in anything.
Right.
So which always makes us quibby a little bit, especially if you're an elected official and you have to answer for that vote. But this was an easy vote for me. It was an easy vote for the entire delegation, except for my opponent.
Joy,
and that's all he has to run on to start beating me back on, you know, this stuff that just is simply does not exist.
Joined by Jerry Carl here on the program. Congressman, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, we got about 2, 3, 4 minutes here, but the vote against the CR, the delegation in Alabama was split on that. But walk us through your decision there.
I simply, from an appropriator standpoint, I wanted leadership to know, and I didn't surprise them. I talked to them before I did it. They know why I did it. I wanted them to know and understand we have to do more than kick a can down the road. Now, we have our appropriation bills ready to go to the floor. We can't get them passed. These confusion cowboys, chaos cowboys, all this bunch, I mean, they want to hold everything for a ransom until they get what they want. And we can't get them across the floor. So this CR is a way of moving it another 30 days. All this is going to come to a head at the end of February. I know you know that. Your listeners probably don't. And it's going to be a huge task in February. I think they're going to try to push a year CR out there. They can't do it with Republican votes. But I made sure that leadership understood that as an appropriator, I was frustrated. The people are frustrated. We don't need to kick this down the road. We need to deal with it today. We need to sit down as adults and deal with it on the floor. And we've tried, but we can't seem to get just a handful of people, Jeff. It doesn't take, at this point, it doesn't take the two people and everything shot down. So it's such tight margins. And they know that, these people that are really working against us.
Is Speaker Johnson safe, you think? I mean, you think there'll be another motion to vacate, perhaps?
I don't think anybody in Washington, D.C., in the Republican Party is that silly to try that again. Mike is doing an incredible job under incredible circumstances. I mean, everything we're doing, we're told, is being history. I'm tired of making history. But if they call Mike up for something like that, it's over. Not just for us. We were so embarrassed over all of that. I mean, it was so embarrassing. When you get one person able to do that, and of course you had 8 that voted against McCarthy. So, and the entire delegation was embarrassed. So, I know they're making a little noise. I just don't believe it's going to happen. I truly don't believe it's going to happen.
I'll
miss that one big time.
I would have to think at this point, if you had another long, protracted speaker fight, and who knows who's left on the bench to run, and it could feasibly win the vote there. But tell me, like, you know, that seems like that would do some real, real lasting damage to 2024 election chances.
Well, my first question is, who in the world wants the job? My second question is, who is capable of doing the job? And the third question, I mean, even if you got, if you really got one of these cowboys on there, he couldn't hold the moderates together. So, you know, it's a no-win situation. We got to start acting like adults and sit down and do business. You know, American people, you know, I get judged as the business congressman. Everybody, you know, says I view everything from the lens of being in business. I do. That's the biggest business in the world, U.S. government. I hold a checkbook. I'm responsible for that checkbook. So, yes, it's a business decision on a lot of things. And I think if more people ran it that way, they wouldn't be wasting our time with silly things that they want to bring to the floor or the things they want to argue about on the floor. So, yeah, let's run it more like a business. But I think Mike's in good shape. You're going to hear some rumbling. You're going to hear a few threats out of a handful of people. But, Lord, if they call him back up, I'm telling you, it'll be a riot up there behind closed doors.
Congressman, we've got to leave it there. Before I let you go, real quick, tell us how the people can find out more about your campaign.
And Jeff, everyone simply go online, punch in Jerry Carl for Congress, and it'll take you to our website. Please let us know if you can help us in any way. We're always open to folks that'll take signs, folks that'll help us put out signs, folks that'll help us work polling booths. I mean, we're getting to put our teams together for that. So any little thing, phone banks, we got so many phone banks going right now. Anything you feel like you can help us with, your time is very valuable to us. We'd appreciate anything you can do. Jerry Carville, Congress.
Congressman, as always, we appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you, Jeff. God bless. Take care.
Jerry Carl, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Say I got a whole lot of cares.